What's up, everybody? Chester RP Church Devotional Podcast. Thanks for being with us.
Choose each winding path I tread. Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread.
All right, well, thank you so much for joining us this morning as we read through the book of 1 Kings. Actually, in our reading this morning, we are supposed to read from 1 Kings chapter 12. With reference to Jeroboam building a fortifying Shechem and establishing golden calves for worship in the land of Israel. But I thought we would jump back to chapter 11 actually this morning to understand who Jeroboam is. The kingdom of God has been divided between Rehoboam and Jeroboam. We read that the last time we got together, and it was 1 Kings chapter 12. Specifically in 1 Kings chapter 12, we are told that the people of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, were divided into a group of two groups, one of 10 tribes and one of two tribes. The 10 tribes outside of Judah and Benjamin got together, rebelled against Rehoboam the king, Solomon's son, the rightful heir to the throne. And there are consequences for that rebellion that will play out throughout the rest of their history. But they got together and put a man over them named Jeroboam. And Jeroboam is the son of Nebat. Now, who is Jeroboam? That's the question. Well, he appears in 1 Kings chapter 11 while Solomon is still alive. He arrives on the scene, we're told in chapter 12, after having been in Egypt fleeing from Solomon. And so these are the words of 1 Kings chapter 11 to kind of give us some background on who Jeroboam is. Verse 26 of 1 Kings 11. Also Jeroboam, son of Nebat, rebelled against the king. He was one of Solomon's officials, an Ephraimite of Zeredah, and his mother was a widow named Zeruah. Here is the account of how he rebelled against the king. Solomon had built the terraces and had filled the gap in the wall of the city of David, his father. Now Jeroboam was a man of standing. And when Solomon saw how well the young man did his work, he put him in charge of the whole workforce, or the whole labor force of the tribes of Joseph. And so the tribes of Joseph, the Ephraimites, so he was in charge of his people. He had shown ability, and Solomon recognized that ability, wisely puts the man in charge over the project, a project manager who has the ability to do the work at a quality level. Verse 29 says, about the time Jeroboam was going out of Jerusalem, and Ahijah, the prophet of Shiloh, met him along the way, wearing a new cloak. The two of them were alone in the country, and Ahijah took hold of the new cloak he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. Then he said to Jeroboam, take 10 pieces for yourself, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. See, I am going to tear the kingdom of Solomon's hand and give you 10 tribes. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe. And I will do this because they have forsaken me and worshipped Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Molech, the god of the Ammonites, and have not walked in obedience to me, nor done what is right in my eyes, nor kept my decrees and laws as David, Solomon's father, did. So God says to Jeroboam here, he sends Adonijah to be a prophet, and Adonijah goes as a prophet, tears his robe, and his brand new robe, into 12 pieces, says, take 10 for yourself, for God has said he has torn the kingdom from the hand of Solomon's son, out of Solomon's hands, certainly from the hand of his son Rehoboam. Now God says, I did this because they worshipped the Ashtoreth, they worshipped Chemosh, and they worship Molech. So they worship the gods of the Sidonians, the god of the Moabites, and the god of the Ammonites. And they have not walked in obedience to the Lord or done what is right in his eyes, nor kept his decrees and laws as David, Solomon's father, did. Now we know Solomon himself was an idolater. Solomon himself was a man who turned away from the Lord. But we also recognize that the people would have followed his lead. The reason Solomon was told, and the kings of God's people were told, not to intermarry was because God said the wives are going to, or the spouses are going to take your hearts and turn them toward their gods. And when that happens, others will follow. Well, when Solomon turned and went toward other gods, Solomon, a man of great wealth and wisdom that God had blessed him with, then everyone followed suit. Well, if it's not a problem for Solomon, it won't be a problem for me. And so they all followed suit, and they began to worship the gods of the Sidonians, the god of the Moabites, and the god of the Ammonites, and they refused to walk in the ways of the Lord. So while Solomon is certainly guilty, his guilt is not just imputed or credited to the people. They are all guilty. They have followed him in going astray. Now, he's held accountable at a higher standard because he's the leader. But everybody is worshiping these foreign gods. Everybody has brought this guilt upon themselves. Everyone is responsible for this. And so God says to Jeroboam, this kingdom's going to be torn into two. 10 tribes are going to go with you. 2 tribes are going to go with Rehoboam. And of course, we know that's what happens. We read that in 1 Kings chapter 12. God, however, is going to be faithful and leave those 2 tribes with Rehoboam because he is going to honor his promise, his covenant with David. Now, God ultimately has a purpose and a plan for this because David's ultimate seed will come in Jerusalem in the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is putting them through this discipline, and we're going to see that as they go through this discipline, instead of softening their hearts and returning to the Lord and repentance and faith, they rebelled against Rehoboam. Then they put Jeroboam over them as God had predicted they would, and God had said they would. This is all from the Lord. But then they continue in their sin. They continue. So the story we read next in chapter 12 is that when Jeroboam becomes king, he goes to Shechem, fortifies the hill country of Ephraim. He lives there, and he built up Peniel, and then he establishes worship to golden calves at Bethel and in Dan. And so what he does is he begins to make Israel more of idolaters. And he will set the stage of all those kings that will come after him, for the most part, who will continue in that path. The people, however, are responsible for their sins, just as you and I are responsible for our sins. Solomon's a problem, but they all are worshiping idols. They want a man who's going to worship idols and let them do what they wish. Rehoboam is a problem. Rehoboam is unwise. Rehoboam sins, but the people of God rebel against him in order to do what they want to do. That's a challenge for us. It's a tough one, tough lesson for us, because we can do the same thing when it comes to our own hearts. So we must be responsible for our sins, accept that responsibility, and bring ourselves before the presence of God, confess and repent so that we can know the blessings of the Lord. Don't live and rest in that sin. You guys take care. God bless you. I'll see you next time.
You carry me close to your heart, and surely your goodness and mercy will follow.